You're now listening to Tales from a World Asunder.
Welcome back, everyone, to the second episode of Tales from a World Asunder. I am Simon. I will be your GM. And joining me are the lovely Louisa playing Mila and Nick playing Adelaide.
Howdy, y'all.
Hi.
In our last episode, our heroes crash-landed into the frontier town of Alpujarra, headed for the military installation known as Camp Ygrek, searching for Mila's affianced, the Lieutenant Second Class, Omar Isidore de Montoya y Oshala. Inquiring after his commanding officer, the Lieutenant Benvoy Masquerit, and meeting his fellow soldier and schooltime friend, Captain Ale Damery, they were told that the official position was that Omar had deserted. But it also was clear that information was being withheld from them. Captain Ale, promising them the information they were after, arranged to meet with them later off the premises of Camp Ygrek in a nearby tavern. And it is to that very tavern that we now journey. It is a pink sunset. As the light begins to fade from the sky, and blue goes slowly purple, and then into a bright reddish pink. And the relatively little but still notable hustle and bustle of Alpujarra winds down as more and more of its population begin to congregate in really the only communal building the small stand of houses has. Alpujarra's tavern doesn't have a name, the benefit of being the only game in town, but is a rather well-appointed saloon. Well-painted yellow outer walls, big open windows, and of course, a set of swinging saloon doors that mark the entrance point of a place of mirth and laughter and, somewhat surprisingly for Meridia, alcohol.
Walking in, I'd like to look around the room and see if I can Snap, Slim, and some other are enjoying their time off in this specific establishment.
I don't even think that needs a roll, as you see a small table in the corner, sort of a nice wooden set of booths that looks like it's mostly used for card games, but is currently occupied by three kobolds, each, again, sort of gecko-like in appearance, far too small for the bench, with their tails curled around them, under them as like kind of cushions, so that they can reach the table while sitting on the bench. Each with a full pint in front of them, each about half drunk, sort of staring listlessly at one another, no longer speaking.
Just licking their eyeballs.
I would say that they're in it right now. They're in the pocket.
Oh, I love them so much.
You see that the bar is relatively full, but they're not being disturbed. They're not being hassled at all. You see that it's full of sort of local color. Farmers, miners, a few tradespeople, it looks like. Some folks definitely look like they're from out of town. Most folks look like they're right at home. And you see another corner booth, this one sort of shielded from the rest of the bar by columns. You see the tall, hulking, gray-skinned frame of an off-duty orcish officer. And entering the bar a little further so you can see behind him, you see the half-elven Ale. You see that both of them have heads covered in bandages, and Kavanagh appears to have a black eye.
Jesus.
And Ale has a, like, block of ice to his jaw.
Fucking hell.
Mila walks straight to them when they enter the bar and trying to be small about it and hoping that, like, it's loud enough to so that she goes unconspicuous. It's like she comes by the table and I think sits down immediately and is like, are you okay?
You see that Ale looks over at you, looks up at Kavanagh, who kind of like chuckles a little bit. You see that Ale looks over with a kind of fey grin, goes, oh, this? Drops the minor illusion. The black eye and the jaw are fixed, and they take the bandages off their heads. And Kavanagh goes in Meridian.
It's cheaper for them to send us to the bar than keep us in the infirmary overnight.
Adelaide will sort of come in behind, seeing that happen, and go, tja, man, got me fooled at least.
Ain't our first rodeo.
Sure.
Yeah. Hi. Ale?
Mila.
Do you two know each other?
Yes.
School.
Right.
I think you feel like this tense fucking silence. And
oh yeah, no, and, he feels it.
And see Mila like looking, like eyes narrowed at Ale over the table, just like with both like familiarity and a little bit of like, I'm among friends, but what the fuck is going on?
Adelaide will come in, like just sit down and go, I don't think I introduced myself properly earlier. I apologize for that. My manners were lacking back in that tent, but I'm Adelaide, Captain Adelaide. It's nice to meet you both. Is it Kavanagh and Ale, was it?
Captain Domery, but Ale is fine. You see, Kavanagh looks down and corrects you.
Sorry, my bad. I'm not always so great with the names.
He's really good with airships and helping me. He's helping me. He's helping me find Omar. What happened?
You see that Ale glances down, sort of looking in his drink for the words he's having trouble saying, downs a little bit of it, and looks over and says, listen, it's not that the lieutenant is lying because he has something against Omar. It's more that... You see Kavanagh sort of jumps in and says, High Command hasn't been letting news get out from here for a minute.
It was an Ornyazan. Beast.
You see, Kavanagh nods as you say the word. I seen it.
What is it?
Hard to say. Like a wolf dragon. Like a worm with legs and fur.
Alright, what color was the fur?
Couldn't rightly tell until the moonlight hit it and it glimmered.
DM, might I know what this is?
You could absolutely make a nature check to try and understand what this is.
That's a 19 on nature.
Ooh. What Adelaide would know about this is a storybook monster.
Yeah.
This is a thing that very few people have seen, but a lot of people claim to see.
Does it have a name?
It has a lot of different names. It's an elvish monster that has sort of entered settler lore as folks have come out here.
I mean, I think Mila like looks to Adelaide thinking and is like, do you know anything about this? Like, you're my guide.
I've heard stories of it. I mean, essentially bad news. But
You But wait, you've heard stories? Is it like it's not an animal?
Well, I mean...
The name that would come to mind for Adelaide in this moment is Carlog. And you would know enough local Elvish to know that that means something like fanged serpent. Or like toothed worm, basically.
Right. I know it as the Carlog, which is, I don't know if you've heard of anything like that before.
You see that Ale is fiercely nodding his head as you say that.
Right. Again, bad news.
I mean, Ale, you're half elven. Do you know anything else about, like...
What's that supposed to mean?
Elves know more about the lands to these sides.
I mean, some of them do.
Adelaide, you see that as Mila says this, Ale makes eye contact with you and just kind of raises an eyebrow slightly. Hey, I grew up out east, but you hear the stories... It's a kidnapper. It's a thing you tell kids about to keep them inside. I would have thought it was a story, except I've seen it. I mean, hell, I shot at it.
Did you hit it?
I think I did. At least I heard a yell like I did.
And did this thing take Omar? What happened?
As far as we can fathom, I mean, it hit our group while we were on patrol. Bayoncourt's an asshole, but he wouldn't fully fabricate that. I mean, we were out on patrol. Omar did sort of go off. That part is true. But this thing hit him, and we lost him almost immediately just in the mess of it. I mean, it was dark. It gets dark out here in ways it doesn't get dark back home. It gets dark, and then out of the dark comes this glimmering fanged thing, and I took a shot, and I heard a yelp like an animal. But when we were able to sort of get to our senses, all we knew was we were there, notably unharmed. And Omar wasn't.
Did you see... You didn't see any... If you said it was dark.
You see Ale is, like, clutching at his glass. I tried to write you. I really did. As much as someone who works for the news, as someone who was close to the lieutenant, but...
Ale, it's fine. It's fine. He took the job. It was a dangerous job. He probably got himself caught anyway. Do you know where you guys were? Would you be able to, like, give us directions from here?
Kavanagh looks over at you and says, could take you out.
I mean, I'm yes.
Mila, what's your game plan? Are you just going to go out there and hope you find something? Hope you don't get killed yourself?
My game plan is to go as far out as they did and look for any tracks of this thing. I was hoping to have someone who knows the lands with me, but if you're not up for it, I can find someone else.
I am not saying I'm not up for it, but I'm not up for it if we're just going in blindly. So... If we find this thing, which we might not, if we do find it, then what? You haven't thought past the just going out there phase.
Well, is there like I'm not seeing any libraries around here where I could go and look into this.
You see, Ale looks at you and says, I mean, folk around here talk... And you could always go and ask the village. a little ways past where we make camp in the valley. You know, maybe half a day's journey. There's an elven village that we trade sometimes for. You know, we give them cigarettes and they give us things we can't get otherwise.
Like what?
Good food, a home-cooked meal, getting our clothes repaired. I mean, we're out in the middle of fucking nowhere. You know, some men just need to have a meal with a family once in every little while and don't much care if the family can speak their language or not.
It's very considerate of them. It's not a bad idea. Talk to locals.
All I'm saying, I can take you out. I speak enough of the language.
I can speak Elvish. That's not a problem.
Ollie, can you even get out of the camp with, you know, your superior?
It's not ideal, but... And you see, he can't meet your gaze. He goes, I owe him that much.
Well, hold on now. Would you be able to point us in the right, like, would you be able to just direct us? I mean, if you've traveled that way that many times, I'm sure there's, what, paths and things like that, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's not hard to get to.
So there's no need to bust your balls over it.
She looks at Ali and said, Ali, if you want to come, I would love to have you with us.
No, your friend's right. I'm more useful if they think I'm not up to anything.
You're a contact inside, if nothing else. And you, Kavanagh, as well. I'm not discounting you here. How about this, Mila, for a game plan? You and I go out to the village. We chat some folks up, see what we can find, see if there's any more information on whatever this thing is. I mean, see if there's even a hope that he's still alive. Because if there ain't, then there ain't no use in going after him. But regardless, we'll go out to the village, then we'll come back, and then we can chat about finding this this site. But let's arm ourselves with information. I'm curious myself. I mean, I've heard the stories about the Carlock, but you know, I ain't never seen one myself, so I'm curious to know some more about the folks who actually live around here, and hear from them about it, especially if it is draconic in nature. But I think that's a better idea than just going in half-cocked, you know?
Yeah, no, I was going off of the premise that there wasn't a way to do information recon. I am happy to ask people about things. That's a big part of what I do.
I'll be right back. I actually gotta take a piss, but I'll be back.
As Adelaide leaves the table, Kavanagh and Ale share a quick look. Kavanagh stands up and says, see you back at camp, and heads for the door.
Emil, like, looks at him and is like, thank you. I appreciate it.
You see he puts his kind of round-brimmed sergeant's cap back on his head and goes, much obliged.
I think she, like, watches him leave for a second, actually, and then, like, very slowly looks at Ale.
He wasn't acting right.
What do you mean?
Before whatever that was that happened, he wasn't acting right. It was like he was sick.
Like he was sick?
It was strange. It was like he was ill.
Was he weak? Or feverish?
Almost manic at times. Like when you get a fever and you think you can go outside in the snow. It was strange, Mila.
sounds like it was disturbing.
I mean, he was our commander.
And it wasn't like his normal bravado.
No. I mean, we both know him. That wasn't that.
Did anything happen in the days leading up to it? Did you guys eat something strange? I mean, these woods are magic, right?
I don't think that's it, Mila. I think... You see, he wants to tell you something, but knows that he can't. It really seems like it would take just a little push.
I think that, like, if he's looking a little beaten or anything like that, I think Mila just takes her hand out and puts it on his arm and is like, Ali, you need to tell me.
Give me a persuasion check with advantage.
That is a natural 1 and a natural 20.
You see Ale turns to you, like, looks you full in the face for the first time. He is not sad. He is not upset. That is not what is going on. On a nat 20, you understand because his face communicates it to you. He's not beat up about failing his friend. He's scared. I think he knew something.
I would assume something that other people that don't want him to know. Something dangerous, if I know Omar.
Strange things happen out here, Mila. They don't approve our requests for leave. Omar isn't the first man to go missing. He's just the only one that has a, you know.
That anyone fucking cares about.
Well, no, a really powerful girlfriend.
She looks down and fiddles with the ring on her hand for a moment as the realization comes down that she's really the one beat up about having failed Omar. She has been for a while. I let him go missing, Ale. It doesn't matter. So there's something going on. He knew something.
I think that's what it must have been.
Something that either drove him mad or really excited, I guess.
I honestly don't know.
Well, that's helpful. I didn't really think he had deserted, but...
Come on.
Yeah.
Is that really something that we would believe?
It's just such a bad lie. I guess they had a consistency thing going on, but, like, he would never fucking do that.
Ale looks over and says, "We're going to find him."
Mila nods a few times, but her eyes are, like, deep in her drink. Yeah, I'm sure we will. How long was Omar acting like this? What, do you remember when it started or anything?
It was a few weeks.
After he came back from leave, or, like, since the last time he visited Antonia?
No, just a few weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah, he came back from a night out. From, like, a proper night of leave here in town. And he wasn't acting right. I mean, he's not angry when he's drunk. But he was mad. Not angry, but mad.
Do you think he took it up with someone?
Maybe. I think... He said he'd had some drinks with some locals. He would have told us if it had been a fight. Fuck it, it would have been a boast if it had been a fight.
Adelaide, coming back from the restroom, will go over to the bar and order a glass of scotch. As he walks towards the table, though, can he scan around the room and look and see if there's anyone giving any sort of look towards an officer in the bar? Like, if there's any, not necessarily hostility, but any emotions good or bad about it.
Bombastic side eye.
Yeah.
Yeah, give me a perception check.
I'm good at perception. I never play high wisdom characters. And I rolled really fucking well. That's a 24.
24. As you're walking back from the bar towards your table, you give a look around the room. And mostly people are sort of enjoying their drinks. Some have meals. Some are playing cards. But as your gaze drifts over to the sort of the corner opposite your three kobolds, you see that sitting at a table with a couple other people, but making direct eye contact with you, is Anna Morena, sort of just sat in the corner.
I give her a nod.
She nods back.
So, what happens is Adelaide goes to the chair, sort of to where Mila and Ale are sitting, goes, I'm back, but I'm going to go talk to someone real quick. I'll be right back to you. Don't get in trouble. And he walks over to Anna Morena.
Well, hello, stranger.
Howdy there. Is there something I can help you with?
No. Just glad to see you're enjoying our little slice of paradise.
Paradise. Heard that one before. I just noticed that you're making some pretty direct eyes at me.
Don't hurt to be observant in a place like this. I mean, it's good people watching.
Right, I wouldn't call direct and fairly intense eye contact people watching. You know, that's your definition, but I'm just saying it's a bit affrontive, is all.
My apologies. I ain't mean nothing by it.
I'm sure you don't. Did those boys do a good job on the patch out back?
Took a while, but absolutely.
Always does. Good. I'm sorry for damaging your skin. I wouldn't call them kids, but yeah, they're good folks, good people. I hope you don't mind if we're just parked out there for a while. It might be a couple of days. I'm not sure exactly how long. If you need us to move, we can, but for not too much of a bother.
I mean, I'd appreciate it if you sort of towed yourself out of my field, but
right.
Dock and fee being what it is, I'm happy to let y'all stay.
If you just put some marker on the field somewhere where we can, you know, sit ourselves, I'll have the boys move the ship a bit.
Sure, we'll do.
Might have to wait till tomorrow, though. He sort of gestures with his head over to the three now probably completely sloshed kobolds.
Most assuredly.
Is there anything she's leaving unsaid?
Yeah, absolutely. Please insight check this woman.
Please insight check.
I'm really, really, really well today, guys. The 22.
I think the biggest thing you realize is that she is interested in your party. Like, it's not even necessarily that you feel like she's leaving something out, but it becomes alarming to you. Or shocking to you that she's even paying attention to you guys in kind of the way that she is. And on a roll that's over a 20, I think you see in her face that, like, she's watching an opportunity.
He gets up from the table, starts to walk back, and then does a pause pivot. Hold on. Sorry, you seem like a woman in need of something.
I don't take your meaning.
Don't take me wrong. I just mean, I've been around a lot. I know land, I know people. And I know how to tell when there is going to be made. You look like you have a problem and need to fix it. And that you're looking at me and my associate here to fix that problem. Would I be right? I don't much like it when folks hide their suspicions and their coin from me, if you know what I mean. If I can help, I will.
I think she looks at you kind of bemused, sort of with a quizzical expression on her face, says, "Well, we sitting here at the end of nowhere. It's always an opportunity when a stranger rolls through town. Especially one with that high tone accent and that much access to senior."
Right, so you're looking to capitalize on blood money.
He had a manner of speaking.
Right. Are we going to have a problem?
Don't imagine we will.
Is she going to have a problem?
Don't imagine she will, neither.
Let me put this more bluntly. Are you going to try and kill either me or my associate?
You see she, like, starts a little bit, very clearly offended. What exactly do you take me for?
A woman with nothing, on the outskirts of everything, looking at a rich Meridian, and someone that probably looks like they can't take themselves as well as they probably can. An old timer.
Anna looks over at you and says, "Folks around here are hospitable. Don't mean we don't expect nothing in return."
So what are you expecting then?
Good word to the right kind of people. There ain't no city folk come out here on business visiting some relation mixed up with the army. Ain't have some kind of say in what happens past the border.
Alright, so what do you want? What is it you're asking me to do?
I ain't asking you to do nothing but stand there and look pretty.
What are you asking her to do?
Be a pal. That's all.
Sometimes I swear it is so unhelpful when people talk to me like that. Because they think they are getting so much out of me and I am getting nothing. I swear, just tell me what you want me to tell her to say. And who to say it to. I can't promise it'll happen, but it'll happen much more if you tell me what to do, rather than just beating around the bush and saying, oh, something good. Now, something good could mean 6 weeks of rations out here, or new plants, or new crops, or whatever. Or it could mean you want a law passed. Or you want more poos, or something like that. Or you want the lawmen to stay away, or you want the camp gone. I'm not sure what you're asking for. So tell me what you're asking for, and I'll see if I can do something about it.
You see that you've started to make some degree of agitation in the bar at this point.
Does Mila see this?
Yeah, I think so. You're sitting over there with Ale, and you start to hear your traveling companion raise his voice.
Give me just 1 second, and she messages him and is like, are we good?
We're fine. It's just people are being confusing us all.
So Mila looks to see who he's talking to and sees Ana Morena. Can I just, like, do a quick either insider investigation into, like, what does her body language tell me right now? Like, does she look like she's about to start a fight with Adelaide?
That's not even a role. You see two people that were having an okay conversation, and you see that conversation becoming less okay for all involved.
Yeah, Mila's just gonna get up and go to Adelaide and be like, hey, you wanna... Hi, Miss Morena.
Howdy.
Adelaide, how about we finish talking to our friend?
Right. Avena, not. If there is anything you need from us, don't hesitate to be clear about it.
Mila looks back at, like, him saying that and looks to Anna and is like, it'll be much easier than giving us trouble. And, like, turns to walk away.
Oh,
with,
shit!
With Adeline.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm gonna back up my partner. Are you kidding me? He's my associate.
Louisa, take 1d4 of inspiration to be added to any charisma check.
Thank you.
For folks listening at home, this show rewards one-liners. You return to the table with Ale, who's sort of getting up and clearly, like, making a gesture to someone who works at the bar to try and, like, pay and be on his way.
Oh, you have to get going?
I mean, technically this is medical leave, so
right.
I really shouldn't test it. You see, he has a little piece of paper that he hands over to you. It's directions. You'll be able to find your way out, either to the village or out to where the attack happened. Your friend's right. If the problem was that Omar knew something, it's better if they think I don't know anything.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Allie. I really fucking thought I was going to have to clock you in the eye back there.
As you're halfway through your sentence, you get enveloped in a massive hug.
No. She hugs him back.
You see, he, like, lets you out of the hug and says, take care of yourself, okay? We'll find him.
Mila just does, like, a short nod and looks at him and then at the ground.
He nods and sort of tips his cap as he sort of puts the bandages back on to you, Adelaide, as he, like, leaves some senia on the table and walks out.
Adelaide will nod back.
I need a fucking drink. And she's gonna go get something to actually
she'll sort
like.
Of, as Mila's walking away, hook out. Would you mind just, I have my drink. Would you mind just getting a glass of water for Razzie here?
Yeah, of course. She goes to the bar to get it.
What does Mila order from the sort of gruff-looking bugbear bartender who makes his way over?
Does Mila understand this is a legal alcoholic establishment?
I think Mila would understand this to be an illegal space.
Okay.
Ain't no laws when the bartender has claws.
Bars. She's gonna go up, and she does want to, like, take a look, because I'm assuming this isn't, like, some gilded but decadent speakeasy in Antonia.
No, this is a saloon.
So she's kind of trying to see, like, she takes a look, because she doesn't want to be an ass, despite contrary evidence. So she first, like, takes a look at what, like, does she get the sense that they will have the same kind of beverages here as they do in Antonia?
No.
This is heavily whiskey and moonshine territory.
Yeah, I thought so. So she goes up to the bartender and she says, what's the one thing that I would be really sorry if I went out of here without trying?
Jägermeister.
She goes, I'm not from here.
The bartender looks over at you and goes, evidently, in response to your question, double shot. And you see he just pours you a doubly large glass of a, like, vaguely caramel-colored liquid. He looks at you and says, grub's not bad either.
All right. Well, my associate and I haven't had dinner, so she looks back at Adeline and is like, you want some food?
I gotta pay for it.
Do I get the sense that I could?
Easily.
Yeah. She says, you're on the job.
Then I would love dinner.
In that case, she orders, and she orders him a double shot as well. Like, you don't have to take it. I'll drink it if you don't
want
it.
The minute it goes on the table, it's down the hatch.
You see that dinner is fried sulka and rice. Sulka is a meridian vegetable that's close to a potato. It's a root vegetable, but its flavor profile is a lot closer to like a plantain. So it is a starchy meal with kind of a thick but not very actual meat heavy gravy that's just poured over it. It tastes delicious, but like based on what it is made of, has no right to.
Mila is not here to judge.
Adelaide is. Adelaide goes, well, this is a far sight better than whatever Snap's been making recently.
The appeal of anything that isn't fried on the side of an engine.
And slightly oily and blackened.
While they eat, Mila takes out a piece of paper and begins to copy whatever Ali had written by ritual casting illusory script. And choosing, me, the captain, Ale. And she asks him, I'm not going to put your kobolds, maybe one of them. Out of Snap's Lemon's mother, who would you trust?
None of them. They also can't read common, so, yeah.
So I guess the three of us for illusory script.
Nice, so you have a copy of, it's directions, but it's also a map.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of a map of the general area.
And then I ask Adelaide, got a light?
Of course we got a light. And he takes out a lighter, clicks it a few times. It doesn't click, and he goes, not again. And he holds it up to Razzy. It just lets out a very, very small puff of fire out of his mouth that lights the wick. And he goes, there we go. Yeah, here.
Mila's gonna burn the original piece of paper. And as the script that isn't the actual writing, if I can do this with my magic, I want to make it a little picture of Razzy. Yeah, she definitely tells Adelaide the thing that Ale said over dinner, and it's he looked really scared, and he said that Omar wasn't doing super well. And you can see that while she's explaining it to you, she's a little more monotone than the normal and less uppity and energetic, and seems like she's processing.
Yeah, he'll sort of take note of her pensiveness and just go, take your time. I know you want to find your fiance, and I'm happy to help you with that. But you're gonna have much more luck taking some time, because if he's dead, it's too late. But if he ain't, probably have a bit more time.
I'm not sure that makes sense.
No, it's one of those things where those of a draconic persuasion tend to fall into one of two categories in terms of how they deal with their prey. Either they eat them there on the spot, or take them home and eat them instantaneously. Sometimes they'll cook them first, with whatever they have on hand, breath and whatnot. Or they, they keep them, like livestock. I've seen that too. It's, frankly, the more grisly of the two sides.
You see that kind of, bothers her to think about, and she's like, do you think, no, we probably shouldn't ask around here in the tavern, right? We're probably better off waiting.
Let's wait.
Until we're in the next village.
Mila.
Yeah, I'm not
it's all right.
great at the taking my time
It's
thing,
all right.
But I'm not trying to ruin anything. It's just, it's the way I get things done.
Mila. All right. If he ain't dead, he won't be by the time we find him. You understand that? Now, he might be broken. He may be worse off than when you first met him. But he'll be alive. So, let's focus on that, all right?
There's a saying in my country culture, I don't I don't fucking know. I grew up here, but it's not from here. Whatever. It's that a bad pot doesn't crack easily. And he is horrible. He is the most stubborn person I've ever met. So I'm sure you're right. And she downs the drink.
I've never heard that saying before, but I suppose it makes sense to a certain extent. Although I wouldn't be saying that being stubborn is a good trait in this case.
Yeah, I'm not. I called him a bad pot.
No, I mean in terms of longevity. Because sometimes it's the stubborn ones that break harder. It may take some more time to break. When they do break, it's not worth coming back from.
What we need to find him is time, right?
At this point, we need information. We need time. And
we'll cross the bridge of how big the crack's gonna get when we get to it. For now, let's get some goddamn sleep.
Well, yeah, that too.
Or another shot. You want another shot?
I'm going to sleep.
Okay.
As you hear the audible disappointment in Mila's voice.
He goes, before I go to bed, I wouldn't mind a cigarette if you want to join me outside for one.
Yeah. I have this herbal blend, actually.
I'm going to stick with what I have. Thanks very much.
Okay. It has a little bit of starlight in it. Not enough to, like, do anything, but just a little. I have a limited supply, but basically I have a bunch of plants in my room that only grow in a specific environment. So at night, the crystals that are on the windows, they catch the moonlight. My roommate helped me make them, and they catch the light, and they distill them for the plants to survive. That's, like, their version of sunlight. So there's tiny particles of starlight in there.
Right. I'm gonna stick with what I have. But that's very cool for you.
It's very nice. It's not like Puff. It's not.
No, I believe you. It's not about you.
Because it sounds like a white powder now, but I promise you that's not what it is.
No,
it's a different thing.
Look, Mila, I understand. You are a very stressed out person. I understand.
It's an herbal blend.
You are getting mighty defensive.
As the conversation unfolds, I think, Mila, you recognize that you are pretty far from home. One of the benefits of infusing magical stuff into everyday things like drinks or cigarettes or what have you is when you're a mage and constantly using magic, having a little restorative is helpful. And you are really not among people who have access to or would even know why you would need something like that.
I think she takes a moment to feel that while they're walking back and, like, to roll her little blunt with star blossom leaf, like, around some tobacco, and goes to the deck to smoke, like, looking out at the stars.
As the night draws to an end and our heroes bed down for the night, what is the last thought on each of your minds? Whoever wants to go first can start.
Mila falls asleep thinking about the last time she saw Omar, specifically the night before he left for this deployment. And that warmth of hugging him in his uniform, like the feel of the linen. A little bit coarse, a little bit like the uniform that Ale was wearing, actually. And just falls asleep bittersweetly thinking about that.
Adelaide goes back to the ship to sleep. He's going to take the cigarette out of his pocket that he got from the officer's tent and put it in a small pack of cigarettes that's partially full of various random mismatched cigarettes that is stuck in a hidey hole somewhere on the ship. It like pries a loose board off that he probably isn't supposed to know about, slips the cigarette in and puts it back for the kobolds, and goes to bed thinking, oh God, we're gonna have to move this in the morning. Adelaide wakes up really early, like 4 a.m. early, and does a full check diagnostic of the ship that he usually does pretty immediately after docking. He does a full rundown, trying to not disturb Mila, and in doing so, wakes up the three kobolds, does like some reports and checks and things like that, has them update him on everything that's going on, directs them to very quietly, very carefully move the ship with...
Smooth.
Yeah, with Smother, he goes through landing procedures one more time and sort of tries to drill that in a bit more, does a few morning lessons with Snap, and then has once again an argument with Slim about the fucking
Captain.
Yeah. Yes.
Slim.
What do you want?
Slim got a little sloshed.
I'm aware. I saw you three last night. That was a lot of alcohol for you.
But Captain not thinking big enough.
Yes.
Front of ship. Already harpoon shape.
Right.
Maybe we don't launch harpoon, we be harpoon.
Right. And when we accidentally stab someone, are you going to be able to stitch him back up?
That one seems to stump him. What is Mila up to as the morning progresses?
Mila first like takes a moment to prepare all her spells on her spell book for the day. And if possible, she would like to prepare and ritual cast Find Familiar. She's feeling lonely.
Yeah. It's a new morning. What does it look like as Mila casts Find Familiar?
Because it's, you know, kind of a living thing. I think that, like, she gets off the ship while they're doing the stuff and tries to head close to a tree or something. And does the ritual, like, on the ground among leaves. She takes her staff. I think it's, like, a dark brown with a pink gem. She funks it into the ground. What's it called? She stabs it into the ground. And I think starts casting the ritual. Pink energy swirls around her staff and picks up leaves from the ground. She searches for the corners to tug within this small hurricane of mist, mumbling notations until runes start to appear on the outline of a small, slim body.
Would you like to describe your familiar for us?
He is a lanky, slippery little pseudo-dragon with, like, his head, it starts pretty thin, and then his body is a little thicker and his tail thins out again. And he just looks so slicky. Like, he looks like he's oiled up for some reason, like, very shiny carapace. He's a little guy with his tongue out in between his teeth. It looks like he should be wearing glasses.
you see this little spirit, this being of pure magic, emerge out of the leaves, at first almost like an oily coil of purple smoke that sort of coalesces into the form of a little dragonling, a little pseudo-dragon, that kind of slithers through the air until he's coiled sort of around your head.
She like goes to scratch him under his chin.
Ah, that's the stuff.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Well, it is good to be back on the prime material.
Welcome back. Who am I speaking to, buddy?
Well, you've summoned me this time. What am I to be called?
Pinky.
No. It will absolutely not be called Pinky. He's not even pink.
Mr. Pinky.
Can you stop watching me cast Find Familiar?
Sorry.
Would that be okay? Would that be okay with you if I had a moment here? I think I'll call him Rodan. Rodan Pinky?
I've had less absurd monikers, but if my summoner so wills it, then Rodan Pinky I shall be.
I'm sorry, that just means pink twice. I guess I panicked. I'm sorry, I'm not really... His name's Rodan.
You're not a very confident mage, are you?
I like to think I am when I need to be. It's like this. I have a limited pool of confidence that I'm working off of.
Joined by yet another draconic little guy.
Adelaide is going to find Mila and go, I don't think it's probably the best idea to go full airship. There, probably gonna have better luck taking a walk down there.
Yeah, we can do that. Absolutely. Let's do that.
Right. Who's your friend there, by the way?
Didn't you hear? This is Pinky Rodan.
Oh,
charmed, I'm sure.
This is Rodan. This is Adelaide, my associate.
In draconic, Adelaide would go, charmed, I'm sure.
As you continue towards where Ale's directions say the village is, you pass sort of through the valley that Camp Ygrek is in, again hearing the sort of the sounds of drills and practice. And you sort of head for... essentially a little bit of open prairie, but as you go further and further, you see that it begins to become wooded on the other side. At first, thin stands of birch, but as you go deeper and deeper, it gets more and more tree dense. And as you round a corner, Mila, you feel a sensation like you're being seen somehow. And as you turn, you see far off into the woods a single gleaming point of light.
Tales from World Asunder is Luisa Zanardi as Mila, Nick Sturman as Adelaide, and Simon Ivcevic as the world falling apart around them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
This tale from A World Asunder is brought to you by Songbird Skyships, proudly providing premium passage to every major port in Meridia. Safe, swift, and service with a smile. That's Songbird Skyships.